Lina was running. She'd already dismissed the mayor's speech from her mind. She sped by people on Otterwill Street going back to open their stores and overheard snatches of conversation as she passed.
"Expect us to believe?" said one voice.
"He's just trying to keep us quiet," said another.
"Heading for disaster," said a third.
All the voices shook with anger and fear. Lina didn't want to think about it. Her feet slapped the stones of the street. Her hair flew out behind her. She would go home. She would make hot potato soup for the three of them, and then she would take out her new pencils and draw. She climbed the stairs next to the yarn shop, two at a time, and burst through the door of the apartment. Something was on the floor, just in front of her feet, and she tripped and fell down hard on her hands and knees. She stared. By the open closet door was a great pile of coats and boots and bags and boxes, their contents all spilled out and tangled up. A thumping and rattling came from inside the closet.
"Granny?"
More thumps. Granny's head poked around the edge of the closet door.
"I should have looked in here a long time ago," she said. "This is where it would be, of course. You should see what's in here."
Lina gazed around at the incredible mess. Into this closet had been packed the junk of decades, jammed into cardboard boxes, stuffed into old pillowcases and laundry bags, and heaped up in a pile so dense that you couldn't pull one thing out without pulling all the rest with it. The shelf above the coat rack was just as crammed as the space below, mostly with old clothes that were full of moth holes and eaten away by mildew. When she was younger, Lina had tried exploring in this closet, but she never got far. She'd pull out an old scarf that would fall to pieces in her hands, or open a box that proved to be full of bent carpet tacks. Soon she would shove everything back in and give up. But Granny was really doing the job right. She grunted and panted as she wrenched free the closet's packed-in stuff and tossed it behind her. It was clear that she was having fun. As Lina watched, a bag of rags came tumbling out the door, and then an old brown shoe with no laces.
"Granny," said Lina, suddenly uneasy, "where's the baby?"
"Oh, she's here," came Granny's voice from the depths of the closet. "She's been helping me."
Lina got up from the floor and looked around. She soon spotted Poppy. She was sitting behind the couch in the midst of the clutter. In front of her was a small box made of something dark and shiny. It had a hinged lid, and the lid was open, hanging backward.
"Poppy," said Lina, "let me see that."
She stooped down. There was some sort of mechanism on the edge of the lid, a kind of lock, Lina thought. The box was beautifully made, but it had been damaged. There were dents and scratches in its hard, smooth surface. It looked as if it had been a container for something valuable. But the box was empty now. Lina picked it up and felt around in it to be sure. There was nothing inside at all.
"Was there something in this box, Poppy? Did you find something in here?"
But Poppy only chortled happily. She was chewing on some crumpled paper. She had paper in her hands, too, and was tearing it. Shreds of paper were strewn around her. Lina picked one up. It was covered with small, perfect printing.